apologies and leave of absence. Bill?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Change to the order of business.
I'd like to move a procedural motion that we have items 13 and 14 on the agenda held concurrently with councillors speaking up to 3 minutes and the mayor up to five. Mr. Mayor, whilst I'm here, can I just ask, will that young lass in the wheelchair be able to stick around for 12.4, or do you want to hear that first?
Because it's here at first.
Here at first? I'd also, whilst I'm standing, like to move in, that we hear item 12.4 on the agenda straight at the beginning of staff reports, please.
I'm happy to second that.
Moved by Councillor Ramsay, seconded by Councillor Carley.
Thank you.
Does any councillor oppose the motion? Declare the motion carried. Deputations?
There are no deputations this evening, Mr. Mayor.
Declaration of pecuniary interest, other interest or conflict of interest of any councillor?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to declare a personal interest in 12.4 and to be excused for that item
3. And Mr. Mayor, I declare a conflict of interest in item 19.2, which is the annual performance review of myself as Chief Executive.
Adoption of minutes of previous meeting.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of Council held on the 24th of June 2019 be confirmed as a true and correct record.
Moved by Councillor Medlock. Do I have a seconder?
I'll second that. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose? I declare the motion carried. Record of Assembly of Councillors.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. That the Record of Assembly of Councillors dated 24th of June 2019, 1st and 15th of July 2019, attached to this agenda, be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy.
I'd like to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Ramsay. Does any councillor oppose the motion? I declare the motion carried. Correspondence inwards. Correspondence inwards, only one correspondence inwards from the Honourable Scott Morrison MP. Thank you for your kind message of congratulations following the election. The result is a recognition of so many Australians who simply and quietly wanted to continue to work hard to realise their decent and honest aspirations for themselves, their families and their communities. I've called them the Quiet Australians. This is both a victory for them, how they make our country stronger. Having been successful at the election, we will now continue to govern humbly for all Australians. We'll work to strengthen our economy as we face the challenges ahead and create 1.25 million jobs over the next 5 years. Having brought the budget back to surplus for the first time in 12 years, we will keep it there and eliminate our nation's debt over the next decade. We will deliver the promised tax relief for hardworking Australians, families and small businesses that reward their aspirations. We will guarantee our record funding for schools, hospitals and roads by managing the nation's finances responsibly and keep our economy strong. And we will keep Australians safe from many threats we face, both foreign and domestic, and keep our borders secure. We have a great deal to do and we are back at work getting on with the job. Yours sincerely, Scott Morrison. Petitions and joint letters.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. It's a great pleasure. I have a petition from residents of McDonald Street, Melton South and surrounding areas, and with photographs pre and post the meeting of the councillors.
Okay, sorry, Mr. Mayor. Can I just move the recommendation for parliamentary and departmental letters? That the parliamentary and departmental letters received by the Mayor be received and noted.
Moved by Councillor Ramsay.
Thank you.
Seconded by
Councillor Charlie.
Is there any councillor opposed? I declare the motion carried.
I apologise, Mr. Mayor.
That's okay. Public question time. Mr. Tory.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have six questions this evening, and the first question is from Mr. Tom Stotton. And Mr. Stotton's in the gallery. His first question is, have council officers visited 3 to 13 McDonald Street parkland to determine if residents are using the park, if they have visited, how often? And Mr. Luke Shannon, General Manager, Planning and Development, will respond.
Thank you, Tom, for your question. Yes, council officers do visit the park on a regular basis, and we certainly have an ongoing maintenance crew that visit the site regularly. I'm aware that residents certainly anecdotally do use the park. I don't have statistics on the number of residents that do use the park, but I can assure you that council staff do have an awareness of the activities of the park in a broad sense, as we do across all our open space network. Thank you.
And the second question from Mr. Stotton is the sale of McDonald Street parkland a continuation of the council's 2013 Parks Reserve Site Assessment Report? Again, Mr. Shannon.
Thanks, Tom. As you rightfully point out, in 2013, council did undertake a review of its open space network, the existing open space network as it was at that time. And that report provided recommendations in terms of the future of the open space network, which involved either maintaining as it is, upgrading, or in some, in a number of cases, disposal or part disposal thereof. The park in question was identified as one of those that could be considered for future sale, and that is in fact consistent with what council is considering again tonight. So in answer to your question, yes, in effect it is a continuation of the 2013 assessment.
The next question is from Mr. Alan Fairweather, and Mr. Fairweather is in the gallery. First question is, before Hanawatts Park was revamped, anyone using the barbecues had protection from the elements. Now there is none. Is council trying to reduce the usage, or don't they or the designers realise that the wind does blow in Melton? Mr. Luke Shannon will respond to this matter.
Thank you, Alan, for your question. I'm sure you appreciate the significant upgrade that's occurred at Hanawatts Park Reserve, which was supported in part through the Growing Suburbs Fund from the state government. The upgrade works have, in a general sense, I think, been very successful. You'll note that there's been significant community usage over the last number of months since it's been formally opened. You point out that the barbecues aren't under the cover of the roofline. That's correct, and that The tables and chairs are undercover for obvious reasons to enable the smoke that comes off the barbecues to be properly sent up into the atmosphere, if you like. That's why the barbecues themselves aren't undercover. That does present some issues in terms of those using them not being undercover in times of rain, but I think that's a reasonable balance to ensure a good outcome at the site. Thank you.
The second question from Mr. Fairweather is, how much longer is Melton City Council's assistance to motorists breaking the road law by not stopping at the stop sign at Mowbray Crescent and pulling out in front of vehicles slowing for the speed hump installed in Kurrinjang Drive? Again, Luke Shannon to respond.
Thanks, Alan. I think I recall you raising this issue perhaps 6 to 9 months ago, and you recall at the time I spoke about the fact that there was a trial period where a speed hump was placed, as you point out, in Kurrinjang Drive, and that was immediately south of Mowbray Crescent. And it was in a location where there was a slight bend in Kurrinjang Drive. And the reason it was installed was to try and... It was an endeavour to slow traffic down as it approached Mowbray Crescent. Mowbray Crescent is a reasonably busy road, as you know, because Mowbray Primary School is at that location. The speed hump has had the effect of slowing cars down. I take your point that, and you've previously spoken to me about the fact that you're of the view that cars exiting Mowbray Crescent don't stop at the stop sign. Well, if I guess I would point out that if the drivers were compliant with the road rules, they would stop as you're supposed to at a stop sign, come to a complete stop. My observations and the advice I've had from our engineering team is that the trial has worked quite successfully in slowing vehicles down, encouraging drive and reducing the likely incidence of a collision at that location. So at this point in time, we're intending to keep the speed hump at that location. Thank you.
One quick comment.
It's happened to me nine times. It's happened to my daughter, it's happened to my son, and it's happened to friends. We've come up on the current young drive. People not stopping at the stop sign. As you slow down for the speed hump, they pull out in front of them. If one of them runs into me, I will sue the council.
We'll move on to
next question is from Victor Masika. Is Mr. Masika in the gallery? Question he asks are, replanning application 376 to 400 Leakes Road, Plumpton. Should this application be refused, can you please define the meaning of Green Wedge Zone and how it affects the residents any different from the other businesses in the area, for example, Quarry and Christmas Tree Farm, considering it is indoor? Again, Mr. Luke Shannon to respond.
Thanks, Victor, for your question. The Green Wedge Zone is actually defined under the Melton Planning Scheme, and I won't go through that in great detail now. In broad terms, the Green Wedge Zone seeks to protect generally the rural landscape of the municipality, and around about 50% of our municipality is set aside as rural land. In other words, land that won't become residential or industrial and the like. The zone does permit, subject to council's discretion, a range of activities in the zone. For example, the Christmas tree farm that you refer to, generally opposite your property, is something that's had approval from council in previous years. I'm just following up on the specific issues you raise here. You raise the fact that there's a quarry in Leakes Road. That is true. There's two quarries diagonally opposite your property. Those quarries have, in fact, been in operation many years and predate the Green Wedge Zone. But I guess my main point is that under the terms of the zone, various types of uses and developments such as yours are permissible subject to council approval. So there are a certain criteria and guidelines that council will consider in forming a view, and you'll note that at item 12.4 tonight, council will consider the application that you have lodged with council. Thank you.
And the second question from Mr. Masika is, should this application be refused, can council assist to locate a suitable site for this purpose within our shire, as we have exhausted all options previously? This is a fundamental requirement for our operation to exist within our shire. Again, Mr. Shannon, to respond.
Thanks, Victor. Council's certainly aware that your business is a significant one within the municipality, and we would certainly wish for you to maintain your activities within the municipality generally, as you obviously desire to do. So we will do whatever we can reasonably do to help support you find another location. Council itself does not own industrially zoned land. However, we have good connections to developers who do own land, and you are in commercial arrangement with them, but we'll do whatever we can to support you in that regard. Thank you.
And that concludes public questions, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey. Presentation of staff reports. 12.1.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I would like to move the following items in block and accept officers' recommendation on items 12.1, 12.2, 12.6, 12.9, 12.10, 12.11 and 12.14, and accept officers' recommendation as per the reports.
Moved by Councillor Malik. Do you have a seconder for the motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? Declare the motion carried. 12.3, presentation of staff.
Sorry,
12.4. Mr. Baggio.
Thank you.
Hold on.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you. I'd like to move a procedural motion that will be excused because of a conflicting personal. I know the applicant.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, just clarification. She's moved, Councillor Mendes has moved a procedural motion. Do we need to second that? Or does it just, is it just a...
I need a seconder for the motion, not?
I'd like to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Mendes, seconded by Councillor Ramsey. Is any Councillor opposed? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. Okay, Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This report relates to a a planning application on a property on Leakes Road. The address of the property is 376 to 400 Leakes Road in Plumpton, and the application proposes to use and develop the land for the purpose of a transfer station comprising the salvage and temporary storage of used and damaged motor vehicles. The property has a total area of just over 40 hectares and is located on the western side of Leakes Road. The property currently contains an existing single-storey dwelling, which is located near the front of the site, a number of sheds and also quite a number of damaged motor vehicles and shipping containers. The use of the land for the unauthorised storage of motor vehicles has existed on the property for a number of years, and this is an application essentially to legitimise that use, Mr. Mayor, on the property. The difference, I guess, is that at the moment the vehicles are stored externally, and it's proposed in the application to construct a large shed which would have an area of just over 2,000 square metres for the purpose of housing the vehicles. The vehicles would be temporarily stored in the shed for 6 to 12 months before being transferred off the site. The shed would have an overall height of 7.5 metres. No customers or visitors are proposed to visit the site, and the hours of operation, which are nominated in the application, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. The application was notified, or the application was advertised, and in response, 6 objections were received to the application. The grounds of objection can be essentially summarised as concerns about contamination from the vehicles affecting land in the area, that the use is not an appropriate use in the Green Wedge area. There were concerns that it would have an impact on the rural character of the area, an impact on the quality of life and the rural amenity, concerns about property devaluation, safety impacts due to increase in traffic, and the approval of the proposal would set a precedent for similar industrial type uses within the Greenwich area. From an officer perspective, Mr. Mayor, while we see certainly merit in relocating the vehicles from where they are at the moment externally into a large shed, it's considered by officers that when you balance the proposal against the various policies in the planning scheme and the purposes of the zone, that essentially it's considered that this type of use, which is essentially an urban industrial type use, isn't appropriate in this area and would result in the loss of agricultural land and detract from the landscape character of the surrounding area. It's also interesting that in Council's Greenwich Management Plan, the area where the site is located is identified as a key area for agriculture, which should be protected from the intrusion of urban-related uses, particularly considering the opportunities presented by recycled water, which is available in the area. So, in effect, we consider the proposal to be, as I mentioned before, an urban intrusion into a rural area and would have a detrimental effect on the area. So on that basis, Mr. Mayor, officers on balance considered that the application should be refused as per the recommendation in the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Councillor Ramsey.
Mr. Mayor, through you, if I could ask one question. The applicant, when we met with both the applicant and one of the objectors, and can I say the hospitality from both was exceptional, the applicant actually said that they'd been asked to redesign this proposal a couple of times. If that be the case, were they told at any point in those early stages that the land was desired to be agricultural and not fit for this sort of purpose?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Initially, when the application came in, it was essentially proposed that the vehicles be stored externally, as they sort of are at the moment, on the property. That application was referred to the EPA, who objected to the application on the basis of potential contamination with fuel and oil and being discharged from the vehicles and potentially contaminating the surrounding area. So on that basis, we met with the applicants. We said, look, on the basis that the EPA has objected, then the council has no choice but to refuse.
Okay.
The only option would be to house the vehicles in a shed,
okay,
which could have a concrete floor.
But what I'm saying is, at that point there, under a green wedge zone with very fertile agricultural land, was the applicant told that even putting it in a shed with concrete, it really wasn't a fit for that zone?
No, because at that stage, you know, it was a discretionary use,
okay,
of the land, and really, at that stage, the application hadn't been either fully assessed,
yeah,
and we hadn't been through the notification process.
Thank you.
Does any council require any further clarification?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Hardy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. My understanding, actually, from the recommendation, if this application is refused, does it preclude the applicant from reapplying for a suitable size shed similar to that which is adjacent to his property in the future?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it got to be a little bit careful. I don't think it would preclude a new application being lodged.
If the use would be difficult.
Yeah, because it'd be a repeated use after it was refused by council. Of course, the applicant would have the opportunity, if the council was predisposed to refuse the application, the applicant would have an opportunity to seek a review at VCAT of the council's decision.
Does any other councillor require any clarification?
Mr. Mayor, just a question. If the applicant was to choose to, if the council agrees to the recommendation and refuses the application, and the applicant does take the opportunity to take it to VCAT, are the residents that are surrounding the area, do they have a chance to voice their opinion to VCAT?
Yes, they would.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Any further clarification, councillors? Do you have a mover for the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that Council issue a notice of decision to refuse to grant a permit subject to the grounds outlined in Appendix 6 of this report.
Moved by Councillor Carley. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'll second that.
Seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried.
Mr. Mayor, could I ask for a division, please?
Division called. All those in favour? Councillor Carley, Councillor Sabir, Councillor Bushy, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Maidlett, Councillor Turner. I declare the motion carried. Item 12.3.
to get Michelle.
Mr. Mayor, I have an alternate recommendation here. Can I state the recommendation?
Of course.
That council officers provide a further report outlining the costs and potential installation of temporary traffic lights in this area. Two, council officers to provide this report, 12.3, and the resolution in full to the petitioner. Dot point three, that council officers organise a briefing with management and residents of the Burnside Retirement Village with a representative from Vic Roads to discuss the plans for the ultimate triplication of Westwood Drive. And dot point four, write to the member for Corroit, Marlene K. Roos, MP, to petition her to work with the residents at Burnside Retirement Village as well as Vic Roads to install traffic lights at this particular stretch of road for the future plans of the triplication of this road.
Thank you. Can you read your first one again?
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. That council officers provide a further report outlining the costs and potential installation of temporary traffic lights in this area.
Oh, that reads a lot better than what I thought.
Sorry. No, it's temporary.
Thank you.
And that's a report to come to council in the future.
Down at motion moved by Councillor Medlick.
Happy to second, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Bushy. Does any councillor oppose the alternate motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. Item 12.5.
Mr. Mayor, can I move this as put?
Before we go to the report, can I, for conclusion, to state that this tower would not preclude any further development or interfere in that area.
Mr. Baggio, can you answer that?
Mr. Mayor, I'm not sure how we could incorporate that into the approval, because what's being sought is a planning permit for a new telecommunication facility.
Yes, I'm not against that. I'm just ensuring that if we have development in that area, that tower is not going to override commercial or industrial development in the area.
Can that be
included?
Mr. Mayor, I'm not the planning expert at this table. However, I don't believe you can put a condition on a permit that precludes a future or would require the removal of that permit effectively if there was a future development proposal that it had some form of impact on. And who determines whether the impact is such that it is sufficient to then require removal of that tower? It's a very hypothetical and prospective sort of permit condition that really would be almost impossible to police, I suspect.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'm not looking to put a statement where it is statement of claim that A or B prevents development or two prevents the construction of the tower. All I'm saying is there should be an override there that the tower does not dominate the horizon and preclude development in that area. That cannot be accommodated, I take it.
Mr. Mayor, right.
That's certainly my view, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, all right. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I'm happy. I've had, as long as I'm on the record, saying that development should come in front of a tower.
The issue with what you're proposing, Councillor, is that once the tower is there, which it would be entitled to be once a permit issued, it then would mean that the condition would require its removal if at any point in the future there was a proposal that it did impact upon.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, what I'm saying is that towers don't employ people.
Mr. Mayor,
development those.
Point of order, there's a meeting procedure. One councillor put it. Are we putting it? Or are we going to hear the report and then go into discussion?
Councillor Ramsay, just relax.
No, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Moved by Councillor Medlick, seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor now oppose the motion? Councillor Debussy, we're going to debate.
Mr. Mayor, I have no further comments to make in relation to this matter, but I do object.
Mr. Mayor, Mr. Mayor, just very briefly. The reason why I agreed to the recommendation is we know that our residents don't want these towers. They are a necessity. They are a necessary evil, as some would say. Heck, I've got one within visual distance of my house. We're always saying as councillors to keep it away from residential area, and they've done this by going into the semi-industrial. It's not going to be near residential, and I think if they're going to put it anywhere, which they will, I'd rather see it in the industrial area than in somebody's backyard or in a sports facility where there's kindergartens.
Thank you, Councillor. You don't wish to speak, Councillor?
Well, just briefly, Mr. Mayor, we're the second fastest growing municipality in Australia. And I don't believe it for a second that we're not going to have communities and residents in close proximity of it. And I don't feel comfortable making that decision potentially for a future community. So,
okay. Kez, how did you wish to speak?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I've got a real query.
Simon, you're for the motion.
Yeah, I'm saying to you, I'd like a lot more information because I don't believe that the proponent has included the radius of the frequency and whether other already installed antennas would do as good, if not better. So whilst I am saying, yes, we've got to have them, but I'm not quite sure that I'm told on the information I got in front of me.
Although you seconded it.
I did, Mr. Mayor, I did.
Okay, move by Councillor Medlick, seconded by Councillor...
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, do I have a right of reply?
Yeah, you do, sorry.
Actually, could I be offered the opportunity to say
something? If you wish to say something.
If that be okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I totally understand where every councillor is coming from because I think we're all singing from the same hymn sheet. We've got a modern appliance that everybody uses to communicate and we need these towers. The most ideal position for them would probably be in an industrial zone. Although I can understand Councillor Ibushi's hesitation because zones do change and things do alter, in especially a growth corridor such as ours. But I believe that as long as we've got some clear sight into the future, in future development, that that's probably the best spot for this sort of facility.
Mr. Mayor, just in conclusion, I do hear Councillor Ibushi's concern, and I, of all people, have the most concern with the telecommunications tower because, like I said, I've got clear vision outside of my backyard of this telecommunications tower, and I always do wonder what's actually coming out of there. But when you put a telecommunications tower in an industrial area, if somebody was to decide to live... totally different situation than if it's plonked at the back of their backyard. So once it's there in the industrial, if the zoning does change to, say, residential, as Councillor Ibushi mentioned, it is the resident's choice to then build or live next to this tower as opposed to it being plonked in somebody's backyard. So I think there's a differentiation there. And I do have concern that if we are to knock this on the head, that this telecommunication facility might end up in somebody's backyard or on somebody's sports facility, or even worse, in a kindergarten. So, Mr. Mayor, I'm more than happy to tick this in an industrial area where it won't affect people living and residing.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Medick. Moved by Councillor Medick, seconded by Councillor Hardy. Let's have a vote on it. Those in favour of the motion? Those against the motion? I declare the motion carried. Call for a division. Those in favour of the motion? Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Medlick, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Turner, Councillor Carley, Councillor Sabir. Those against the motion? Councillor Bushy. I declare the motion carried. 12.7. Mr. Shannon, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This report relates to proposed funding applications to be lodged with the state government under a fund known as the Growing Suburbs Fund. By way of background, Council will recall that this fund has been in place since 2015, and 10 councils at the interface of Melbourne, including Melton, are eligible to apply for effectively for capital works on the basis that Council matches funding with any funding received through this program. Mr. Mayor, the report sets out some of the previous applications that have been successful for Council over the last 4 years on page 142, and you can see that Council has been successful in around about $24 million worth of funding through this program. The next round of program funding has been announced and applications close late September of this year. The timetable for the program is set out on the bottom of page 144. Mr. Mayor, the two key criteria which are detailed in the report which Council needs to comply with is, as I mentioned, matching funding for any applications that are lodged. And secondly, no council can get more than 20% of all the available funds. So, in other words, the maximum funding that can be achieved through this program this year is $10 million. On the top of page 145, there are six projects that council has already committed to deliver either this financial year or over financial years. And it's the table there sets out the project value and suggested amount that we apply through this program for funding, which equates to just over $10.5 million. If Council is successful in obtaining that funding, that will obviously free up some capital for future capital delivery in the forthcoming years, which is critical given the growth phase that Council is going through. The mix of projects is such that it provides a variety of amounts to hopefully be more attractive in terms of being successful for the range of different applications that will be lodged. So accordingly, Mr. Mayor, it's recommended that the applications be lodged as set out in the recommendation on page 141. And I should also point out that they are listed in priority order, which the Council is required to do as part of its funding bid. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any council require any further clarification?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to ask, how difficult would it be to add on, say, an extra park, specifically the City Vista Park in, I don't believe that's Caroline Springs, I think that's Plumpton? Fraser Rise.
That's correct, yep. Mr. Mayor, it is possible. In previous years, we have lodged, as you can see on the table on page 142, applications for play space upgrades. We don't have a specific application proposed this coming round. However, Council can lodge an application. There's been no detailed design done for that specific project, which is adjacent to a major facility that Council's constructing at the moment. If Council does wish to include that application, I would suggest the likely cost based on recent park upgrades would be in the order of $800,000. That council and a $400,000 application through the state government through this program. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
However, Mr. Mayor, just to follow up, it'd be $400,000 if we were successful that for that particular project.
That's correct, Mr. Mayor.
Does any other councillors require any further clarification?
I
Councillor Ramsey.
I'm going on the proviso here that there's something gets added. Would that then mean we would need to commit additional funding towards that project in the next 12 months if it was funded?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, not specifically, because if you refer to the table on page 144, the program actually runs over, the delivery element runs over a number of years. So if Council did choose to include the City Vista project,
yep,
we would need to commit to the project.
Yep.
We don't have a specific funding allocation this financial year for that. It would be committed in the subsequent year for Council to actually commit the $400,000 if that was the case, if it was successful.
Does any other Council require any further questions?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'm just going to add, we actually put this into the request for the Growth Suburbs Fund. Would we put it ourselves at risk of losing all the other projects?
Some of the others.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I don't think so. Council needs to be quite targeted and thoughtful in terms of the applications that it does lodge, and the six that are currently on the list are, as I've mentioned earlier, quite a diverse range of projects of varying costs. They may not all get funded. They may not all get funded to the amount that we've sought, but I think by adding one further one of that scale, I don't think I view that risks success across the program generally.
Okay, thank you.
Does any other council require any further clarification?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Sorry.
Councillor Hardy.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. Thank you very much, Councillor Carley. Our tradition has always been when we've had other items to be included, we've always deferred to budget. Is that still what we consider?
I can answer it. Through you, Mr. Mayor, as you know, we've just struck the budget for the current financial year. So normally applications of this nature would go through the budget cycle, and as I pointed out, the six items that are currently listed have been committed to by Council already. Now, some of those are done over multiple financial years, but there is already a commitment for each of those.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. I'll wait until Councillor Carley says a question.
Carley.
Thank you, Councillor Malik. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is more not just so much a question, but just a statement. I noticed that, and I know I'm going to be told that I sound ward-centric, but looking at this whole list of submissions, they are all in just one ward, which is Coburn's ward. I saw that in the past, all the projects that we've listed are pretty much either the three across the three wards, except for 2015, 2016, which again was just Coburn's ward. I know that these are big ticket projects and they're needed, but can we look at putting in submissions across the three wards? Project is small, it's still big to members of our community that are in need. If it is a playground upgrade, or one of the sporting clubs needs a female-friendly change rooms, or whatever it may be, it might not be as big as these ticket items that we're putting in a submission for, but it still matters to our community members. I'd just like to see that if we are putting these submissions, that we're looking across the whole three wards and what those needs are in those wards. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Any other councillor have anything to say?
Can I just say something in regards to that? I'm probably going to look like the councillor that doesn't support their ward, but I do. And I'm going to say that, yes, there's a lot of things here from the Coburn's ward. There's also Brookside, which is, I think, from the Cambridge ward. And I think if you go and look at the two wards in comparison to what they've got in the last 12 months, and look like Vista's City Vista, and the amount of money that's been spent on there, and all the other things that seem to be happening down there, the new tennis courts that we've got, the basketball courts. If you look at what the Coburn's Rise has got, or Coburn's ward has got, you've got the rec centre sitting there. It's actually constantly being repaired. And Melton Basketball are actually advocating for at least another six basketball courts, because the kids are still playing basketball at 11 o'clock on a Friday and Saturday night to actually get all their games through. So I think that what we've got here before us is sufficient. I know it probably seems as though it's one ward, but I think you need to look and be fair as to what's happened in both those wards over the last 12 months to 18 months.
Councillor Ramsey.
Mr Mayor, I'm not going to call a point of order, and I'm trying to play nice with my fellow councillors at the moment, but we've got a brand new virtual councillor who's trying to follow meeting procedure, and we're taking clarification into statements now, and we've started debate.
Councillor Ramsey, please carry on properly. We can deal with it as we're dealing with it. There's no problem what's happening.
Okay.
You just might not agree with it.
There is a meeting procedure, and we've gone into debate, Mr Mayor. I'm just letting you know.
Mr Mayor, I do have a question, a legitimate. In regards to the City Vista upgrade, is that actually on our Capital Works program, whether it's next year, the year after, or any of the years?
Through you, Mr Mayor, yes, it is on our Capital Works program. I can't state the exact year because I don't have the program before me, but it is definitely one of the parks in the short-term horizon for an upgrade under our program.
Well, Mr Mayor, if that be the case, I'm happy to move this with an inclusion that the park at City Vista be included in the Growing Suburbs Fund proposed projects.
And I'm happy to second that, Mr Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Merrick, seconded by Councillor Bushy, with the alternate addition.
Mm-hmm.
Does any councillor oppose? We're going to debate. Now you can have your debate, Councillor Ramsey.
Mr Mayor, I've heard both the councillors' questions and statements. I feel compelled that something needs to be included, apart from just one project, to reflect a more equal distribution around our municipality. Now, some councillors might not agree, fine, but I believe that there should be a more equal distribution, and I agree with Councillor Carley that maybe in the future, because we have had those smaller wins with smaller pocket parks.
Some big wins.
And some big ones, but also the smaller ones. Sometimes the state government feel generous, can I say, and they give us those smaller wins. So I agree that with Councillor Carley that I would like to see a more equal distribution as far as it can be. I know that sometimes there's unequal, and I'm fine with that. As the list shows here from 2015, and I've been on this council since 2015, I have supported projects that have only been in the Melton municipality, as in the Coburn's ward. I have done that in the past. However, I strongly feel that the park at City Vista should be included in this particular case, as it will finish off the precinct. Thank you, Mr Mayor.
Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Mr Mayor. When a list of priorities come, we've had this discussion during the debate. We've come up with what we see are the list of priorities, and council officers have gone to the Growing Suburbs Fund to see if we can get some funding towards those priorities. The City Vista site has had a 14 million dollar injection in the last 12 months, and it looks fantastic. It's state of the art. It's wonderful. And you didn't hear a Coburn ward councillor per se object to that at the time. That was something that needed to happen, and it's happened. If we're to inject something else, whatever, wherever, even if it was another Coburn ward item there, it may take the focus off maybe Brookside Community Pavilion, which is in Cambridge ward. The solar panel retrofit program goes right across the municipality. Ainsbury hasn't had much love, if any love, ever. And Karrinjang tennis courts are falling by the wayside. Everybody unanimously supported the Cobble Bank Indoor Stadium, apart from Mr Tory, who thought it was way too expensive. And we've got a recycling facility there that needs to come up to being that state of the art. So I just believe some years you're going to win some years you're not going to win some. In the next year or two, you're going to have a $60 million swimming pool. That I will, once you find some land for it, I will gladly support that. Because the sooner you get that, the sooner I can upgrade the waves pool, or council can upgrade the waves pool. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, really, at the end of the day, these were the list of priorities. This is what we said we were going to focus in on. And if we're now to put in, I mean, going forward, if you want to put up a policy that says we have one or two key initiatives from the budget from each ward, that's different. But at present, as that's happened in the immediate past, since the Growing Suburbs Fund's been out there, what we've done is we've focused in on the priorities. And I don't want to see any of those priorities sacrificed or watered down because we keep adding one in. Because if you put one in, then I might put one in. And then Michelle might put one in. And then, lo and behold, it gets worse and worse. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Does any other council wish to speak on this?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I just want people to actually look at Table 2 and have a projects and have a look at the ones within the Watts ward and the Cambridge ward and actually look at which big ticket items go to those wards and which ones go to the Coburn's ward. I think you'll see that there's a very distinct difference in the money amounts.
Thank you. Does any other council wish to speak for the motion?
I do, Miss. Oh, if you want to. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Mr. Mayor, when Councillor Ramsey speaks about City Vista and that they've already seen a lot of money be injected in that project, we could also say the same for Bridge Road. Bridge Road received a lot of money in regards to the hockey stadium and the athletics track. But then if you look at 2015 and 2016, we kind of finished the project and it's got Bridge Road Regional Play Space that we put through the Growing Suburbs Fund and that was given money to. I don't see this as being any different. City Vista, we have put money into it, but this is just like the finishing touch to give these residents of City Vista a playground. I don't think it's too much to ask to add it on a list. If it's chosen, it's chosen. The more, the better if we put it on the list. At the end of the day, the minister's the one who decides. We just need to put the projects forward.
Thank you. Does any other council wish to have comments?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I think we need to look at the Carroll Spine Springs Leisure Centre, and within 12 months it's got two lots of funding and it's got two...
Councillor Mendes, you've already spoken, I'm sorry. Any other council? Councillor Sabir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was under the impression...
Is you switched on? When it comes up.
There we go. I was under the impression that these were all chosen because they were ready to go, projects ready to go. There was no planning that needed to be done in order to get these done straight away. And I'm assuming all of these projects have been waiting for a while. Just to put it into perspective, how long have we been waiting for these six to get off the ground?
Through Mr. Mayor, yes, each of the projects listed in the proposed application list are ones that have been on our books for some time. They're in our Capital Works program. They're in broad terms advanced in their planning, and that's generally a sensible way to go about funding bids. They're things that we would be doing anyway, that they're well costed and well developed, leading up to a funding bid proposal.
Does any other councillor wish to speak?
Mr. Mayor,
Did you speak already?
No.
No, yes.
Not on this one. I'm not going to rehash some of the stuff that's spoken, except I just want to highlight that that Eastern Corridor residents are some of the highest paying rate payers in this municipality, and to ask for a play space to complete a project from start to finish isn't really a lot to ask for. That's all I have to say, Mr. Mayor.
Sorry. Any other council wish to speak? Okay.
Do I have a right of reply, Mr. Mayor?
You have a right of reply now.
Mr. Mayor, I just want to reiterate that it would be remiss of me not to ask council to consider that the list of projects for the Growing Suburbs Fund reflect more of an equal distribution around the municipality. And as we can see on Table 2, there is the majority of projects in the Cockburn's Ward, which I was happy to support. I had no issue. And yes, this area has been injected with a lot of money, but also we've received $1 million, which is a record staggering amount from any sporting club for this particular area. I think this, and we have to separate that from this park, because this park is actually for the children and the residents that are actually living there. They might not necessarily use or be a part of the soccer club or the netball club or whatever it is that's there. This is a park for the little kids, so I don't even know why we're debating about a potential park upgrade for our children and our residents in this area. So thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Medley. Motion put by Councillor Medley with an addition on number 7, which would be 400,000 from Council, an 800,000 project. All those councillors in favour of the motion, please raise your hand. All those against the motion? I declare the motion lost.
I'd like to ask to call for a division, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Kesich, Councillor Medlick, Councillor Bushy, Councillor Carley. All those against the motion? Councillor Ramsay, Councillor Sevier, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Turner. I declare the alternate motion lost.
Mr. Mayor, can I move the recommendation as put?
Yep. Moved by Councillor Ramsay. Do you have a seconder for the motion?
I'll second that, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Mendes. All those in favour of the motion? All those against? I declare the motion carried. Move on. Item 12.8. Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This report is in relation to an emergency relief service. Some time ago, Council did administer an emergency relief service and has done for many years from Council staffing. The expressions of interest went back out from the federal government at the time to show interest in that, and also at the same, and we weren't successful and we did not get that application in time, so that's very clear, but it was the view of the federal government that they would spread the love, if you like, or spread the finance that would distribute emergency relief funds, and I'll explain what that is in a moment. Over and beyond that, when we briefed Council on that issue, from Councillor Ramsay back in February about providing $5,000 per month for up to 3 months, and officers basically to proceed to engage with those providers to see if we could sort out a provider to assist us with additional funds, if you like, for our residents right throughout the municipality, which we did. We called a meeting, I think, only about 3 weeks after that day, providers come in, and had an open and frank discussion with those. And I must say that there are 8 providers that have received emergency relief money from the federal government that equates to around about $250,000. They are scattered out throughout our city, and some are on the border of our city. But we have been successful in talking to one of the providers, which is Catholic Care, which has received $70,000, which is the biggest service provider in our city. And we've come to an agreement with them to provide services from our civic centre, if you like, but provide services 2 days a week from our civic centre. So it's their service, it's their funds, but at the same time to assist to make that happen, Council will provide $16,000 per annum, which will help with resources, training and other obligations that they do. So we'll provide our rooms, if you like, at a peppercorn arrangement. So that agreement has been signed. It'll be 2 days a week yet to be determined. It'll be for 4 years, so that is the life of the agreement. And at the same time, that's not saying we're not we're not sending our residents for those who are coming to the Civic Centre to those other providers, and a number of those providers are receiving, a number of those residents are receiving services from those other providers. So it's a bit of a good news story. It was hard work. So council 16,000. The 70,000 is for the provider to give out to clients, if you like, and that'll be in the form of vouchers, food vouchers, maybe petrol vouchers, so it won't be cash. They'll organise the appointments and they'll happen within our, under our roof, if you like. As part of the agreement, they will need to provide us an annual report, so it'll be revised every year, so we just want to make sure that we're getting as best we can out of their $70,000, but most residents are getting looked after. So really, Mr Mayor, that's it. It's taken some time. The recommendation from the officers obviously is to note the report and at the same time liaise with Catholic Cairn regarding a joint press release. Thank you, Mr Mayor.
Thank you, Mr Heaney. Does any council require any further clarification? Do I have a mover for the motion?
I'd like to move that, Mr Mayor.
Do I have a seconder for the motion?
Mr Mayor, I have an additional point, if that's okay. Just that we send a copy of the press release to the relevant community care organisations and MPs in the City of Melton.
You happy with that, Councillor Ramsey?
I am.
Okay, well...
Can I also...
Are you happy to move it without...
I am, and could I also address for a minute after the vote's taken? There's no debate.
Sure. Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Bushy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. Councillor Ramsey, 1 minute.
I would sincerely like to thank this council for their support in this note, in the original notice of motion, but then Mr Heaney and his acting staff and his department, because there were a number of agencies that got funding. And Catholic Care were the only one that came and were showing an inkling to come. So for those that can't travel out, can't go outside of our municipality or further away because of lack of transport, they've got something now under our community centre's roof. And I want to thank the department that have worked so diligently to make this happen, and I look forward to some positive outcomes when the annual report's set. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Item 1212, public open space. Ms Daniel.
Thank you, Mr Mayor. The purpose of this report is to advise Council on, and the agenda says the written submissions, but it should say all submissions received following public notice of a proposed change of use for part of the land. Those submissions are following on from a decision taken at the ordinary meeting of Council on the 29th of April in Canberra, where Council resolved, amongst other things, that part of the land at 3 to 13 McDonald Street, Melton South, the land I'll call the one-third land, is no longer required for the purpose of public open space, and resolved further that it would therefore advertise its intention and take public submissions. The proposed change of use of the one-third land is in accordance with Section 192 of the Local Government Act. This is a section which exists specifically to address where a council has acquired land for a particular purpose, which is the case here, to allow the council to use the land for another purpose. So the question for council tonight is whether or not the one-third land is acquired by the council for the purpose for which it was acquired, taking into account all submissions. So just to map out the process, if Council did make this decision tonight, the next steps required for the community care accommodation that is envisaged by the DHHS would be, which was mentioned in the in the public notice would be a two-lot subdivision process, a transfer of land process, a planning scheme amendment process, and possibly a planning permit process. And to put the one-third land into perspective of the entire reserve, so the entire reserve is currently 7,561 square metres, and the one-third land is approximately 2,900 square metres of the entire site. So the balance of the site, so what I'm calling the two-thirds land, was not included in the April resolution and is not included in the proposed officer resolution. So the submissions, the written submissions are summarised in this report and they're set out in full at Appendix 1. They're also illustrated in terms of the location of the submitters at Appendix 3. And the oral submissions, which were received by the 223 Submissions Advisory Committee, are set out in the minutes, which are at Appendix 2. Bear with me as I scroll down. So from all of the submissions, there are three matters which are relevant to the question that Council must decide upon tonight, which, as I said, is whether or not the land is required by the Council for the purpose for which it was acquired, which is public open space. Those three matters are set out in the dot points on page 185. First, that the open space is required and used by the surrounding residents, including children. Second, that there is a perceived lack of open space in the area. And third, that there is a link between open space and health. So if you accept the proposition that some public open space is required by people in the area and that there is a link to health, so essentially you accept the first and third bullet point, the question then becomes how much space is required. And to that end, the report notes that the Melton Open Space Plan 2016 to 2026 deems that local parks, of which this is one, should be of a size between 0.2 and 2 hectares, with 0.5 of a hectare being the preferred size. And so if this proposal was accepted, the remaining park is 0.46 hectares, which therefore comes within that local park size. To address the second bullet point on page 185, the perceived lack of open space in the area, the report notes, again on page 185, that there are three reserves in close proximity to the subject site within 400 metre walkable catchments, which demonstrates that local residents, in fact, do have a high level of accessibility to public open space. In part because of that accessibility of alternate parks and also because of the undeveloped nature of this reserve, in 2013 there was a report presented to Council which identified the entire reserve as a site that could be sold or as a potential location for social and or community housing, with the proceeds of sale used in the upgrade of other local parks in the walkable catchment. So that is the analysis of the three points that are relevant from the submissions to the decision that Council must make tonight. Other matters, not strictly relevant but worth noting and which do come into the officer recommendation, is that proceeds of any ultimate sale could be used for the embellishment of the remaining two-thirds of the land. There are no financial or risk considerations specific to this decision tonight. And so, with that said, the officer recommendation is as set out on page 180, but alternatively, Council, of course, could decide that the one-third land is still required for the purpose that it was acquired, which is, as I said, public open space. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Daniel. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Do I have a mover for the motion?
Happy to move it, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Bushy. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'll second it, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Mendes. Does any councillor oppose the motion? Councillor Hardy? Want to debate? Councillor Bushy?
I'll reserve my comment till the end, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Hardy?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First and foremost, let me go back to the presentation of 205 residents in the immediate vicinity of the park, McDonald Street, who have publicly stated that they are against any rezoning of the park. And from that point forward, Mr. Mayor, if you can indulge me. Right? The community consisting of 205 residents oppose the redevelopment of McDonald Street Park for the following reasons. And they, and including myself, would like to go on public record that we are supportive of public housing for a host of community needs, but not at the cost of losing valuable public open space. There's a whole host of things, but let's go through, let's just identify. Parks provide space for neighbourhood residents to interact with each other, creating recreational activities. They also reduce crime rates. The trees that are planted there also, right, take up an environmental issue and take out air pollution from the air. Also, parks are also good for locals' mental health. We will all talk about this, and we need to have spaces where we can meet and greet and be happy and secure. Parks also are great spaces for open sport, but not lineal like Tulin Creek, which has been advocated here by council as a park, but that has a very sheer cliff to the face. If kids go that area, they will go over the edge, and if they go the other way with ball sports, they'll be on the road. So it's obviously not an area that you'd advocate. Being outside of playing and playing in your local park is crucial for healthy development of children. We all know this. It creates emotional stability, improved mental health. It also creates opportunities for parents to bond with their children. And in an environment today where we're all very, very time poor, we need space to go out with our children. Melton South, Mr. Mayor, is under great threat at the moment from high density development due to the sizes of our blocks. They do, developers look on them and they see six units. With that increase of population growth, you need more parks, not less, because you're not going to have backyards. With development being what it is, you're going to have concrete, not green, Mr. Mayor. And in 2013, the Parks Reserve a site assessment identified, as Dean has pointed out tonight, identified that park for a sell-off, which at that point in time may have been true and correct. I wasn't here, so I cannot comment. But I can comment, since 2013 to today, there has been a dramatic increase in population in Melton South. And Melton South does not have a, let's overpopulate, a green space. Mount Carberry and Fraser Street are the two that within walking distance. That's it. And that does not encourage, right, the community to get out there and walk and talk. It does not encourage people to get out with their children, Mr. Mayor. Right? The state government, and I'll make this final point, the state government is paying for the land, paying for the build, paying for the maintenance. Why are we trying to sell off our public open space when the state government are putting in the dollars? So, Mr. Mayor, the proposal needs to be rethought, as there is a net loss to the community of open space should this go through.
Please sum up, Councillor Hardy.
As a high density development increases in the Melton South, there is a necessity to find further open space, not less, for the community to enjoy a less stressful life and a lowering of depression and anxiety through employment and enjoyment of a green park environment.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Mendes, do you wish to speak?
I'm just going to ask a couple of questions to Councillor Hardy in regards to open space. When you have a space like Toolan Creek that has the Platypus Festival, and I think it's been for 11 years, that would have to be considered one of the most magnificent sites in the City of Melton in terms of open space. I'd like to see how many other wards in the City of Melton have got that amount of open space, and that is actually used quite often by families. My observations of McDonald Street, and I have made quite a few visits to that area, I haven't seen it used with anybody actually present on the site. And, well, I'm sorry, but I haven't. My visit's there.
Quiet, please.
Open space in Atherston is another area of Melton South, and if you look towards the back area of Melton South, it is developing because you've got states like Seventh Bend and Waterford where the developers are actually putting in open space areas, such as like they've got at West Lakes and Willandra where the developers actually put in two playgrounds with football facilities, soccer and other sporting equipment for people to play, and they're actively used day and night.
I'm happy to answer those questions, Mr. Mayor, if you like.
It's all right, the one questions. Does any other councillor wish to speak?
I do.
Councillor Ramsey?
Just really quickly, I believe that we shouldn't be selling off our open space, but we should be realistic because when I went to visit the site, folks on Saturday, I couldn't see around that corner. So there's some safety issues there. So let's get real. Something's going to have to go there eventually. And I'm not trying to blow smoke up anybody, but you've got to think more laterally. It is public open space. It is what's going to go there could be, at the moment, it poses a severe safety issue. I believe the residents have spoken and have spoken fairly loudly in regards to not selling off their public open space. So for that reason alone, at this point, I will support them. But I think you need to be very clear in the fact that there is a beautiful park within 300 or 400 metres away at Fraser Street that is fairly well designed and fairly well looked after. I, at this point, would implore the state government to look at other options for whatever they're currently proposing. If they've got the dollars, they've got the money at the table, I sincerely think that they should possibly look at all options before making a decision. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Vichy, you wish to sum
up? Yeah, Mr. How long have I got?
About 2 minutes.
2 minutes, bloody hell. Well, I attribute a lot of this stuff from the good work of our local journalist who, from the Melton and Moorabool Star Weekly, who has basically put this in perspective. And in making my decision, a lot of the information that I've read really highlights the need. And I just wanted to read some of it. It's from an article from the 1st of July this year. Melton will require a dramatic increase in social housing, according to a new report. A study from the Australian Housing and Urban Research Institute has dramatically increased projections of social housing used in Victoria over the next 20 years. Now, it forecasts that by 2036 there'll be a need for an additional 127,500 public or community housing properties in Greater Melbourne and a further 38,500 properties in the rest of the state. The Melton and Brimbank region already has the fifth highest number of applications for social housing in the state, with 3,222 applications lodged up until March this year. How on earth, Mr. Mayor, can we say no to community care accommodation? The need is so great and so urgent that I ask councillors to really think about their decision with regards to this, because we are bleeding when it comes to accommodation. We've got families that are couch surfing, and without it's a tough decision. I get it, I understand, but we cannot, as responsible councillors, we understand as community leaders the need, because we see it with our own eyes. So I just ask councillors to really think about this one and have a read of this article that pretty much summarises and highlights the urgent need we have in our community for housing. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. 12.2, moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Mendes.
Do I get the...
No.
No.
Good try, though.
Seconded by Councillor Mendes. All those in favour of the motion? All those against the motion? I declare the motion carried.
Mr. Mayor, could I call for a division?
Yes, you can. All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Bushy, Councillor Sabir, Councillor Carley, Councillor Turner, Councillor Mendes, and Councillor Malik. Against the motion? Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Hardy, and Councillor Kesich. I declare the division carried.
Mr. Mayor, can I just seek one bit of clarification? This was totally only on whether a third of that site was necessary for public park. Nothing more about social housing or anything else.
The vote tonight was on the use, the land, whether it was required by council or not.
Yes, so a third public...
You've read the report, Councillor Ramsey.
I have read the report.
She can read, she's good. Carry on, no more, Ms. Councillor Ramsey. We'll move on, councillors, please. 12.13, Ms. Daniel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The purpose of this report is to present to Council all relevant information for it to make a decision on entering into a lease with the
Mr.
Victorians.
Mayor, can I move the recommendation as put? That's the right word. Thank you.
I'd like to second that recommendation, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? Declare the motion carried. Item 13. Councillor Ramsey, you paying attention. Item 13.
Are you ready for me?
Yeah, you ready?
Yeah, I am. You thought you'd trick me, but you didn't.
No, I knew you'd be ready.
Okay. This month has been a fairly busy month, Mr. Mayor, and we've had some incredibly different, diverse and exciting events that we went to. The African Summit, that was hosted by the Melton Secondary College at the Melton Christian College auditorium there. Some great guest speakers, some great events, and we heard from a lot of young and diverse African people, but also from all stages of life. Some that worked in the... with the state government, some that worked in policy panels, others that were just finding their feet, and CEOs as well. I had a meeting with the Melton Basketball Club, the exhibition opening of the Home Sewn group at the Caroline Springs Library was fantastic. The Caroline Springs Rotary changeover, my battery is running low, guys, so I'm just warning you here. The tour of an absolutely fantastic venue at City Vista. Absolutely brilliant. Everything that could open and shut, plus some. We were having an absolute ball down there. And I look forward to seeing the friendly game on the weekend. Thank you. The library, there was a book launch about Hannah Watts and also William Watts. The book was actually William Watts. And thank you for the coverage in the paper about that. I went along to the soup kitchen, and it's great to see what they're doing with our communities. There was, I don't know whether I went on a boom night or what it was, but there was about 60, now I've got batteries coming everywhere. Thank you for this quick attendance. The Melton Men's Group Open Day at The Gap. They've got a membership of about 53 people and growing. And what a great venue The Gap is to be able to host things along that line. The Melton Swimming Club had their awards night. The Sons of the West graduation was jam-packed as always, and I think it was 115 young men, as in that graduated. Women Making It Happen had our meeting. The Rockbank Football Club had their 100-year celebration. And the pop culture. Now, I've just got one thing I want to show you, Mr. Mayor. And you know, Box Wars was down at Digger's Rest. Those that don't know, we had hundreds of young kids with shields. Oh, with the, what do you call the?
Armour.
The shield, the helmet, and the sword. And they got to
10 seconds, Councillor Ramsay.
Mr Mayor, and I had a photo with two of my fellow councillors, one being the Mayor and one being Councillor Mendes, and guess where they put the sword? I'm not going to
In your neck.
And also the CEO Review Committee or panel. Thank you very much for everybody that's taken the time to invite us to get us to know more about their issues. Really appreciate being so heavily involved.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay.
Thank you.
Councillor Bushy.
I'll be very quick, Mr Mayor. Exhibition opening of Home Sewn featuring 20 local artists' works at Caroline Springs Gallery. Caroline Springs Little Devil's end-of-term presentation at the Caroline Springs Leisure Centre. The Rotary Club 2019 changeover night at Billy's Paddock at Sears Square. And Think Pink Day at Spring Hills Football Club. And congratulations, they haven't finished counting, but as of last night, they had reached $15,000 raised for the Think Pink Foundation. So. Oh,
well done. Is that it?
Well done.
Thanks, Mr Mayor.
Councillor Sabir.
Thank you, Mr Mayor. I attended the Home Sewn exhibition opening at Caroline Springs Gallery, Melton Men's Group Open Day at The Gap, Melton Swimming Club Annual Presentation Night, Rockbank Football Club Centenary Day, Melton Box Wars, which was a lot of fun, Willow's Quilting, and I also attended the Friends of the Melton Botanic Garden meeting, and they had a guest speaker on naming plants, which was rather interesting. That's it for me.
Thank you, Councillor Sabir. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I attended the Diggers Rest Kindergarten Extension Turning of the Sod, and what a great project that's going to be, and I can't wait for that to be opened. Ravenhall Pre-Service Graduation at the Ravenhall Correctional Centre. Congratulations to the new officers. The exhibition opening of the Home Sewn, which featured 20 of our local artists. Caroline Springs Rotary Club 2019 changeover night. Congratulations to Paul, the new president, and well done to Reg for his year as president at the Caroline Springs Rotary. The tour of City Vista Sports Precinct, and what a wonderful facility that is. NAIDOC Week flag raising ceremony with you, Mr. Mayor, and Councillor Hardy. And the Rockbank Football Club Centenary Day, and congratulations to them. That was a great day, and it was good the way that they honoured their past players as well, and we got to chat with one of them as we were leaving. So well done to the Rockbank Rams.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Hardy.
Yeah, thank you, Mr Mayor. Right. In June, latter part of June, the Catholic Secondary College, the African students, what a wonderful night, attended by wonderful night. The audit committee, the on-site meeting with Fixwell regarding planning, and in July I attended a local government bill, MAV, VLGA. The tour of City Vista. Wonderful precinct, wonderful precinct. And I know it will be very successful with its future playground initiatives. The turning of the site, the redevelopment Station Road, again attended by the member for Melton, Steve McGee, and councillors, NAIDOC Week. On the 17th and 18th of this month here, just last week, I attended a planning summit in Melton, and that's where all the initiatives spoken about tonight on parks and gardens. And they all recommend 1.5 hectares being the planning infrastructure, not less than. The Sons of West, Rockbank Football Centenary. As an old footballer, as soon as the oil gets near me, the nose swells, and you know, I feel like I could get out there again. And the Melton Rotary changeover, congratulations to Deb Pace. Thank you, Mr Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Councillor Kissich.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On the 28th of June, exhibition opening of the Home Sewn Caroline Springs Gallery, and on the 17th of July, meeting with the official football club Bears at the Caroline Springs. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kasich. Councillor Medley.
Mr. Mayor, I'll just mention a few, otherwise I'll go over my time. I attended the Western Melbourne Tourism Board at Bringbank, discussed the 2019 budget, as well as a board meeting then a few weeks later at Hobson's Bay. I attended the Caroline Springs Chisholm Society fundraiser event at the Sun Theatre in Yarraville, and what a fantastic organisation this is, helping new mums and new families, those that are in need for baby clothes, baby formula. If anyone wants to make a donation, they are located in Caroline Springs. I attended the Brotherhood of St. Lawrence NAIDOC morning tea with yourself and Councillor Hardy, and what a wonderful presentation that was done by Auntie, I think it was Margaret, Auntie, one of the aunties Indigenous aunties, and she had a great story to tell of her great-grandfather. I also attended the Friends of the Melton Botanic Gardens NAIDOC week tour, and can I just say, myself and Mr. Mayor were just drenched with rain on that day. It was a great tour, apart from the downpour of torrential rain, but that did not stop John Bentley from keep on going with his presentation, so well done to him. I also attended the Spring Hills Football Club Think Pink fundraising event, which I'm glad to hear that they've raised so far $15,000, and also the Rockbank Football Club 100th year anniversary. And can I just mention, I also attended the CEO Review Committee meeting, which the minutes are in tonight's confidential section of tonight's council agenda. But can I just commend the CEO for doing such a great job? A lot of the times, he gets to bear the grunt of all the bad things that happen, but he has been a fantastic and is a fantastic CEO that gives this council and the councillors advice without fear or favour, and that's why we respect him so much. So I just want to commend the CEO for doing... I know he doesn't like compliments, and that's exactly why I am complimenting him, because I think he deserves it, and sometimes we overlook it. But this organisation is what it is. The staff love coming to work and are passionate because we've got great leadership such as Mr. Tory and as well as our general managers as well. So can I just commend the CEO for such a...
He's a Richmond supporter.
And that's it from me,
not
Mr.
Not a colleague
Mayor.
With supporter.
Thank
you. Councillor Mendes.
On the 3rd of July, I attended the Caroline Springs Rotary Club changeover. And the 9th of July, I had the pleasure of watching the sod turn for the Melton Central Community Centre redevelopment, which is going to look fantastic when it's completed. On the 11th of July, I attended the Melton Men's Group Open Day Barbecue, and I'm really pleased to see that the Sons of the West graduation leads them into another area so that they're not actually left with nothing to do, and that they all stay together as a group and actually continue on their friendships. And I think it was so fantastic to see that we're actually taking our programs from one thing and extending it into something else. The Melton Swimming Club annual presentation night on the 13th of July, it was fantastic to see that our Melton Swimming Club is one of the highest in the state and is always outshining every other club within the state of Victoria. So I think we should be very impressed to have such great students right across the city of Melton participating in a wonderful club. On the 18th of July, I went to the Sons of the West graduation, and what impressed me the most was that the 115 graduates were from across the whole of the city of Melton. So the Eastern Corridor is starting to get well presented, and I thought it was really good to see that we're actually including people from all cultures and additional needs. On the 20th of July, I had the pleasure of going to Melton Box Wars, and now I want to see that at every event we have where the children are. It was attended by people right across the Eastern Corridor. They came from Caroline Springs to Diggers Rest to participate in it. And the best thing was that it was not one iPad, one iPhone being used. Parents were talking to their children, yep, and they're all having a great time.
Mm-hmm. Well done,
thank you,
Mr.
Mendes. It's been quite a month. Start off with, I was at the African Summit, which was held in Catholic Regional College Auditorium in Bowman's Road. What a fantastic auditorium that is. And the idea of the day was to let the African students see their peers and also people from their community who were in good roles, whether it was police or whether it was people in different roles throughout the community, just to show them that they could aspire to better roles. So it was a really good forum. I think that's the second one they've had there, but it was a really good day. It was great to see the Diggers Rest Kindergarten extension happening, so that's happening now as we speak, not quite. Attended a forum by Recycling Tour, which was to learn what other councils are doing with their recycling as far as how it can be, what they call it, the closed loop. So you get your recycling, it goes into a process and it comes back as something else. So that was an interesting day, if you like that, Ken. On the 28th, I went to the Melton Maltese Seniors Group at Botanica Springs. They have that every Thursday morning. It's a really close-knit group, about 50 different people from the Maltese community. Home Sown, as a few other councils I attended. We attended five different NAIDOC celebrations. We're really doing the NAIDOC proud in Melton this year. I attended the NAIDOC one at the Caroline Springs Police Station. There was one at the Brotherhood of St. Lawrence on the High Street. There was also one at the Council, of course, in our community hall. And the theme for the NAIDOC week was Voice, Treaty and Truth. And there was a flag raising ceremony as well. I attended the Welcome to Country NAIDOC event at Melton Health and Community Services, where they've just put in an Indigenous garden. And, of course, couldn't miss out John Bentley's Friends of Botanical Gardens. He soaked us. I thought he would have some umbrellas or something for us, but he just let us. And he timed it so we were furthest out from the shed till the rain came down.
Mr. Mayor, what did you call them?
Which?
What was the group?
Little
people.
Yeah. Melted Botanic Gardens.
No, you didn't call them that. They called it
he
botanical.
Did not say botanical.
No, I didn't. I never say botanical because John would shoot me if I said botanical. He does not like that. I tell everybody it's singular, isn't it, John? Of course, I attended the Melton's men's group at the Gap. What a fantastic group. A couple of the guys in the audience now, Les, and what's that guy's name? Alan, I think it is. They go to... They've attended both of the Sons of the West programmes. And they're now part of the new group, which Les is one of the founding members of, which is a Melton men's group. And the idea of that is they've taken over from the guys that have to leave the Sons of the West programme, which is run fantastically by Leanne Christie. Yes. Got that right? That's good. My names are getting better. It's been run by Leanne Christie. I believe this was the sixth year on the 18th, last Thursday. And as Sophie said, 150, it's the sixth year, Sophie.
Is it?
Yeah, sixth year. Don't put four at me. It was the sixth year.
I thought it was the fourth.
Well, you're going to have to pay attention. Anyway.
Sorry, dude.
The Sons of the West programme is a fantastic programme. And what Les and...
What's Alan? Your
Trevor. What Les and Trevor have done is fantastic. They've got all the guys and some of the ones that are in the existing one who are out of the programme and they've started their own programme, continuing the great work that Leanne's doing. Oh. So I applaud you guys for what you're doing. Fantastic. Saturday the 13th, attended New Zealand Maori New Year celebration down in Williamstown. Didn't stay long. It was very, very cold. And then we went to the community hall and I met Councillor Sabir there. It was the Victoria Matu community, which is a Chin Burmese multicultural festival. And in the evening, many of the councillors attended the Melton Swimming Club's annual presentation night. It's fantastic seeing those kids. They're so fit. And one girl got up and played the violin. And she was fantastic. You should have heard it. Saturday passed. I'll cut it short. The pop culture event, which Sophie spoke about with the swords and stuff. And on Saturday night, Saturday afternoon, we were at the Rock Bank Centenary Day. And Saturday night, attended the food kitchen. And they'd actually organised this week for it to be cooking demonstrations. Yeah. But there were that many people, they had to cancel it. And they just served the food. So it's been an interesting month. Thank you very much. We'll move on. No scissors of motion. 15.1, Councillor Bushy.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I move that Council undertake the preparation of functional layout plans for the provision of curb and channel and footpaths within the sugar gum estate to enable appropriate costings to be undertaken for those works. And two, upon completion of the functional layout plans, that Council officers undertake extensive consultation with residents within the estate regarding the potential scope of works, costings, and their willingness to contribute financially through a special charge. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Does any councillor require any clarification? Councillor Ramsey.
My first part of for clarification is the cost of producing a functional layout plan. What sort of costs would be associated with the extensive consultation? And number two would be, have we got the resources or the manpower in-house to do this? The scope of works has already been established for this year.
Through Mr. Mayor, I'll do my best to answer. In reverse, perhaps, we will need to make some slight adjustments to our works program, design works program for the year to accommodate it, but it can be done using our in-house design engineers. Part of the reason we're able to achieve that is a lot of information already exists for this estate. Okay. You recall from 2006 when Council previously went through this process, those details will need to be updated and validated. So it's a little bit hard to put an exact cost on it. It will be more in officer time in undertaking those works.
But most of the plans are already done, are they?
Yes. They will need revalidating because they were done 13 years ago, so they'll need significant review and overview. And sorry, I didn't answer your question about the public consultation. That would be all done in-house, so it's officer time, which is really where the cost will be incurred.
So there's nothing that needs to go into the budget in regards to this notice of motion?
No.
Councillor
Kessler,
do you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I have. When we're talking about the functional layouts, does it mean a comprehensive plan for the both sides, actually? For the both side of the street to have a path built, or just the one side?
Mr. Shannon can respond to that question.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the officers would intend to provide options to Council. We've previously provided options in briefings regarding the likely cost of doing one side of the road or doing both. Through this process, I would envisage we would provide the options of both scenarios to Council with costings, and then a decision would be made how to go forward from there based on those facts.
Thank you. I'm keen to second it, but also I would like to state that I would like to see a comprehensive plan which would once for all fix that problem there in that area. Thank you.
Agreed, Councillor Kessich.
Does any other councillor require clarification? Moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Kessich. Does any councillor oppose? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried.
Mr. Mayor, could I ask for a division, please?
Division called. All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Carley, Councillor Sevier, Councillor Bushy, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kessich, Councillor Maidlett, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Turner. I declare the division carried.
Thank you.
15.2, Councillor Bushy.
It takes me longer to flick through paper, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah.
I don't know, I've seen you on a computer.
Hard copy, maybe.
No, it's harder with... It's on the screen.
Because I've written some notes.
I've got to get a fine.
Remember that old-fashioned handwriting notes stuff? Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that officers bring forward a report on an option for a Food for Fines initiative for 1 month of every year, whereby library members in the City of Melton are able to donate non-perishable items during a specified month at any library branch, with all donations going to a Melton food bank or a not-for-profit organisation providing free food for our community. For each item donated, $5 to be deducted off library fines if relevant. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Does any council require any clarification? Councillor Maidlett.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. In that report, could there be some options in regards to whether it needs to be specifically $5 or not?
It would include that.
Thank you.
Councillor Ramsey.
Mr. Mayor, can I also find out which or how many or all of them food banks there are in the City of Melton? Because I can list about five off the top of my head. So
it'll be in the report.
We need to know what we're going to be.
I will ensure that the report addresses that point as well.
Mr. Mayor, could I ask another question? In regards to fines, library fines, is that not only physical books, but is there like e-borrowing that you get fines for, or not necessarily?
I don't believe so, but they're mainly for late return of books.
For physical books?
Physical, yeah.
Do you read physical books?
Does any other council require any clarification?
I didn't think you were hard.
Moved by Councillor Bushy. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'm happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
And seconded by Councillor Medlick. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour?
Can I just...
No, we've gone past that.
The word says introduce and...
No, no, he read it differently.
Okay. Moved by Councillor Bushy, Councillor Medlick. All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. 15.3, Councillor Mendes.
That officers report to council on possible locations and indicative costs for the establishment of an off-leash dog park in the Atherston Estate, Cobble Bank.
Does any councillor require any clarification? Moved by Councillor Mendes. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
Yes, I'm happy to second it.
Seconded by Councillor Kissage. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. 15.4, Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I have an alternate motion that I'd like to move. That council officers please prepare a report come to council's next ordinary meeting, which will be held on the 19th of August, and that the report include, one, a map of where the services are located at the corner of 91 Lawton Drive and Calder Park Drive in Taylor's Hill, and two, other safety options with costs included that can be used at this location besides Omni-stop bollards.
Very good. Does any council require any clarification?
I do, Mr.
Mayor. Councillor Ramsey.
At the last council meeting, was it the last one before council? The last one, we supported Councillor Carley in regards to some bollards in the same street, just down the road a bit. And it was about $3,500. Now, when I read the officer's recommendations, I nearly passed out at $65,000. So can I just get an indication of why the variance?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, every location is different. The number of bollards required is different. So it often, and this the officer comments here allude to services that are located under the ground, so it's really horses for courses, which is why the costing was different.
To that extent, though?
And I should also point out that the works haven't been designed in either of those situations, so we're sort of doing this as we go, but it's not unusual for the costings to be that different depending on the particular circumstances.
Mr. Mayor, I have another question. In regards to the alternate uses of Omni-stop bollards, is there any way that council officers can also look at what Melbourne City Council are doing, in particular the bollards that they're using, or the large concrete blocks that they're now painting as pieces of artwork to stop cars onto the footpath? I know it's a slightly different reason as to why we're putting bollards, but can we go, like, outside the box, figuratively speaking, to have a look at what else we could actually use? Because I'm sure there's stuff out there on the market that, you know, we could become a bit more creative with.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, yes, we can and will look at all the options available. In terms of the barriers that the City of Melbourne use, I generally wouldn't recommend those because, as you point out, they're for a specific purpose and they actually cause significant damage to a vehicle that might crash into them, and that in turn might cause significant injury to the persons in the vehicle. But
I would suggest that the vehicle probably slows down so they don't get injuries. That would be my solution to that. But I'm just saying, can we look outside the box of just...
We can and will, Mr. Mayor, and I think your point's well made that if people drove sensibly...
Yeah, absolutely, we wouldn't need... Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Is there any other council required clarification? Moved by Councillor Carley, do you have a seconder?
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Mealick. Does any council oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. 15.5, motion 640, Councillor Mendes.
That council write to Vic Roads requesting a reduction in speed limit from 80 kilometres per hour to 60 kilometres per hour on the Diggers Rest Comity Road, Toolan Vale from the Gisborne Melton Road to the east of Creamery Road.
Thank you. Does any council require any clarification? Moved by Councillor Mendes. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
And by Councillor Hardy. Does any council oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. 'Councillors, questions without notice.
Councillor
Ramsey.
I had two and now I've got three.
Is there a
the noise limit? Policy of council, have we still got a current noise policy for when people play loud music over a certain amount of decibels of an evening after, post 12 o'clock, after 12?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the EPA actually have, the Environment Protection Authority have controls over noise limits, which apply across the state, and council does have the ability under the Health Act to enforce those, as does the EPA.
Okay, because I'm getting... barraged by both police and residents of a particular street, and I wanted to know that that was still enforceable. Also, can I get an update from through you, Mr. Mayor, about the possible locations and the report coming to council of the possible locations for a performing arts facility?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to answer that. Council will recall that a budget allocation has been made in this financial year for the undertaking of a needs assessment for a performing arts facility in the municipality. That piece of work will be going out to tender shortly, and I would expect that a further briefing will be coming to council over the next 4 to 6 months on that matter.
Well, could we possibly have a briefing to councillors about potential sites?
We will once the needs assessment's done.
Okay.
Or through that process.
Thank you. And my third question...
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, point of order. I think there's only a limit of two questions per councillor. If we're going to go by council...
You haven't been following council rules anyway.
I have
today.
You've
spoken longer than 3 minutes anyway.
Councillor Ramsey, carry on.
The third question is it possible through you, Mr. Mayor, to Mr. Shannon, to look at some sort of a windbreak for the pavilions at Hannah Watts Park? Just something small, because when we went, all the councillors can vouch for it, even though Mr. Tory tells us it's been absolutely beautiful, there has been some really rough days where if the barbecues are underneath, if we could look at some sort of structures to place up, just to, as a bit of a windbreak. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Should I answer that, Mr. Mayor? Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I think that was more a statement, but I'll take
it. No. Can we?
We can. We did go to significant effort to design the magnificent outcome that was achieved. But
I'm not saying it wasn't magnificent, but...
We can certainly review it. I can't undertake what the outcomes will be at this point, but I'd be happy to meet with you on site and you can point out the specific issue of concern.
On a windy day would be good.
It's windy every day, Councillor Ramsey, so
there you
sure
go.
We'll be
Thank
fine.
Thank you.
Councillor Mendes.
That councillor officers, if someone could actually tell me about what I'm calling the blue brick road outside the library. Aisles, what you call them, I'm sure. Yeah. So a lot of residents are probably making queries about as to whether that's ever going to be repaired.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the issue in question relates to a defect that was involved in the construction of the crossing immediately outside the Melton Library and Learning Hub. That is overdue for rectification, so I will follow that up as a matter of priority.
Worries.
Thank you. Made nice again. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hardy, did you have a question?
No, I've got a question without notice. Yes.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Question. Do you have a question?
Your time.
Or have you got a motion?
Okay, hold on. Does any other councillor have a question without notice? Oh, Councillor Hardy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Sitting at the end of the table. Can council undertake a report on potential future sites for public housing in Melbourne?
Isn't that a motion?
That's a motion.
It's not a question. It's not a question.
Well, it is, but...
The question is, we can, but you, it's not the time we do.
Can you reframe that,
no, you just
CEO?
Have,
can you reframe that to make it suitable?
No, you just have to wait for 7 minutes.
The next item on the agenda,
okay.
Councillor Hardy, is motions without notice, and I would suggest it's appropriate.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Councillor, has any further questions without notice? Motions without notice?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Debussy.
The council officers prepare a report with suggested options to urgently address the ongoing congestion and safety concerns of the parking issues at Boronia Reserve Hillside within the Sugar Gum Estate.
Steve, is your thing on?
Councillor Ramsey.
I've got two, if that's okay, Mr. Mayor. The first.
No, you only get one because you're the next one last.
No, that was question. But thanks, Mr. Mayor, for keeping me on my toes. That officers liaise with the LTP group to assist them in identifying funding opportunities for them to acquire a replacement vehicle for the program.
Mr. Mayor, my microphone was off for the purposes of the recording. Did you want me to repeat it?
No, it's okay.
No?
Okay. I think we have it.
And my second one, Mr. Mayor, if I could, is that officers identify and report to council strategic land parcel in the municipality that can be noted for future acquisitions as the opportunities arise.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Any further motions without... Motions without notice.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can council undertake a report on potential future public housing sites in Melton?
That's it?
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillors, any further... Motions without notice?
Yes. Yes, Mr. Mayor. That council officers write to James Molino, MP, Minister for Education, requesting an immediate review of the current school Springside West Secondary College in consultation with the local community and local MP Natalie Hutchins.
Thank you. Urgent business. Neil? Confidential business.
Mr. Mayor, could I move a recommended procedural motion that pursuant to Section 89/2 of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated under items 19.1 and...
Moved by Councillor Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor oppose? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance tonight. Feel free, John.